Will you still need me? Will you still greet me when I'm 64? Hello, everybody, and how are you? Does it sound a bit odd? It should do. Because we're missing somebody. We're missing the anchor person who makes this show really what it is, because unfortunately she's been caught, dear Vicky. She was up in town, she was having a very important meeting with some clients, and she rushed to the car in order to get down here and instantly got stuck in gridlock. No idea is my idea why. So unfortunately, it's the nature of the beast. When you have a community radio station that's all run by volunteers, then you tend to end up with these problems. However, Peter and Stuart will be joining me shortly, and we'll be having a great chat together, as we always do. We're going to be looking into the exciting world of technology, and we're going to have a great show today, and they're going to help me get through this, because I'm not going to have She Who Must Be Obeyed working at the helm, so to speak. Well, after Peter and Stuart have had their way with me, so to speak, they'll be followed by two new guests to the show. We've got Cameron Donnelly, who's from Port Phillip Mowers and Scooters. Now, he's going to bring us up to date with the craze of drifting scooters in the scooter world. No, not seriously, that's a joke. He's actually coming in to tell us about what needs to be considered for your mobility needs in the future as you get a bit older and what options are available. And after that, we're going to have a very interesting chap. There's a guy called Clyde Campbell, who's founder of Shake It Up, which is a non-for-profit organisation for people with families who are affected by someone who has Parkinson's disease. And I know a little bit about that because I actually have a tremor of my own, and people look at me and raise an eyebrow as if I do have Parkinson's, and I don't. I have the equivalent of it's called a familial tremor, and it means that it's impossible to keep things like peas on a fork. And so you have to learn to live with that. So I understand what it's like in the very simplistic terms to have Parkinson's, but of course it's got much greater problems than that. In the meantime, I'm going to play a little bit of music, which of course is our intro music. There we go, that piece of music was stripped in at the last minute. Stuart, Peter, welcome to the show, and I'm apologising because we don't have the lovely Vicky here with us today, but you'll have to bear with me.
We will.
How are you? How are you both?
Well, yes. Good. Well, it's good to see you. Back in the almost pink of health.
Well, I had a shocker, a real shocker. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't do anything. And I had to get some material ready for the national broadcaster, and I just couldn't do it. I wasn't able to.
So you let down our ABC.
No, not that national.
Oh, not that national broadcaster.
No, the CBAA, the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia.
Oh, even higher up the chain.
Absolutely. Many, many more channels than the BEEB, the ABE, ABC. But anyway.
At least you have a voice, so that's important.
It's back, yes. Unfortunately, I need a wheelchair. No, that's not true. I'm kidding. But we are talking to we're talking to mobility scooters about later. But that's not it is sort of what we want to talk about, because today our topic is all about technology and the fears, woes, and goodies and baddies that face seniors today. Mm. How do you go in your villages with techo stuff, Stuart?
Well, I like to start at a really simple level.
Right. Go.
Do you know your own car? Can you drive? Do you know what all those buttons in your car do? And I would guarantee you'd probably say no.
Well, you'd be almost right, and I would have agreed with you, except for the other day when I discovered a new button that heated up my side mirrors.
I thought you were going to say heated up your seat.
No, I knew where that was.
Right, well, that's an important one.
It doesn't work.
But consider the technology in a car, which affects each and every person in the country.
Unbelievable.
And do I know every button in my car? Absolutely not.
What kind have you got?
I have a Toyota.
Yep.
So new Toyota, the free plug, cash for comments.
No, you're not going to get another one all of a sudden. Not from this show, wait. I'm first in line.
So you know, I bought a new Kluger, and you just look at the amount of technology and look at the manual that comes with it. I put it aside, and if I need to know, I'll try and research it. Otherwise, providing the car starts and stops and turns when it should do and plays music, of course, then that's fine. But and that's the same for, I think, any driver. Peter, I don't know about you.
What have you got, Peter? Oof. What have you got?
I've got a new car, actually.
What? Oh, yes.
I have.
And you've got a?
BMW.
BMW, yes.
Well, one of ten.
Sorry?
What?
One of ten, isn't it?
No.
Isn't that your garage?
No. It is a beautiful car, actually, and I can't believe the technology in it. It's actually quite confronting.
Well, I can imagine that. Yes, well, I'm with you. I'm yeah. Yes.
Well, what do you
well,
do
when
about
I picked the car up, which was a week ago,
mm-hmm.
On the Saturday morning, they spent an hour with me, and because I have had BMW before, I know some of the stuff. But all the new technology, I mean, it's a real test. It's got what they call active cruise control.
Right.
Which means you turn it on, and let's say you're doing 100 on the freeway.
Yep.
You set it on 100, and it's got radar in the car, so it picks up the car in front of you, and if that car's going less than 100, it knows the distance to keep you apart, and then you sit on whatever speed that car's going, and when it speeds up, you speed up. If it slows down to a stop, you will slow down to a stop without touching anything.
But does it know when you sit there and go, oh, bugger this for a laugh, I'm going to go around this one?
Yeah, you can override it by touching.
No, but does it do it?
No.
It doesn't decide that the bloke in front is an idiot.
And then it's got this, it monitors the white lines.
Oh,
so
really?
If you fall asleep at the wheel, it will steer the car for a few hundred metres and vibrate the wheel so it wakes you up. It's just incredible.
That's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
And that's technology designed to help you.
Mm.
But think of all the other useless things that are in the car that you will never use in your life.
Mm.
Like a jack.
Hopefully like a jack.
Well, because you use it.
BMW's got run flat tyres. You don't need to. You just drive with a flat tyre now. It's wonderful.
Yes, but they're only about $1,600 to replace.
That's the problem. There's always unintended consequences of technology.
But you know, so you look at the very basic things. So if you start from that perspective, how do you get onto a tram now? I mean, as you know, you need your Mikey card. Do people know how to get a Mikey card? If you're a visitor to Melbourne, how do you know I need to buy a Mikey card and this is what I need to do when I get on public transport?
Yeah.
Well, it is not user-friendly.
No, it's not. And from if we wanted to connect all this into that sort of senior space, the bottom line is this. Everyone will say, Telstra, it doesn't matter who it is, government, they say, just go to the website.
Exactly.
Mm.
So they're asking you to go to a technology that you've got a very, very high opportunity of not understanding how it works completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've pulled the humanity away from underneath that, haven't they?
Mm.
So we don't have that.
Just something you mentioned, Mikey, and Melbourne. Did you know that Melbourne is the only city, probably in the world, where all of the signs on the freeways take you to a place called City? Now, if you're a visitor to Australia, and you're driving out from the airport and you hired a car and said City.
Oh, God, oh, City. No.
That was City?
City.
Yeah, City. That was City.
City. Doesn't say New York or London or downtown. It says City.
Yes, it does. That's perfectly true.
But don't all cities do that?
Melbourne, Victoria is very Melbourne-centric.
It is.
You cross the border in Adelaide driving to Melbourne, it says City.
It's not very helpful, is it?
Not helpful
at
all.
No.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and that's really simple things that have taken over all of our lives that we somehow need to come to grips with.
Mm.
Before you actually talk about the more high-tech stuff that now are taking over the world, you know, you cannot get by without computers.
No.
And for older people in particular, that can be really challenging and especially confronting because not everyone is wired that way. You know, we were having actually a discussion over lunch at work today, and one of our staff, their grandchild is in, it's either prep or grade one. I don't want to do them a disservice here. It could be grade one, but they are learning how to code a computer.
Really?
Really.
In grade one?
In grade one. You know, this is part of the, and interesting, and I'll give a plug to Kai if he happens to be listening in. So all the kids have passwords, so they can go on to whatever it is they're doing. Kai has remembered everyone's password in the room.
So, really?
So if Peter over there has forgotten his password,
Kai
will tell you. I don't think you need to be asked. I think Kai will actually volunteer that for you. But that's in grade one.
He's probably selling it to everyone else in the room.
It could become entrepreneurial. There could be lunches being exchanged.
Yes.
This is a whole new take on. But, you know, in grade
and
one.
That's another issue that worries the life out of me is passwords.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Everything you have now has to have a password, and they remind you you should change it constantly in case it gets hacked.
Well, there are.
I can't remember.
No, but there are apps that allow you to do that, which
I
store
know
them.
That, but.
But it, you know, you've got to decide how vulnerable you're going to be. Of course, look, anything can be hacked.
Yes.
And there's no point in lying in bed at night thinking, oh, my God, everyone's going to steal my money.
Correct.
If they do, then the bank will recover it and you know, and you'll go through a miserable time. There's no question about that. They can't hack my computer at the moment. I've been waiting 8 days for my NBN to be connected, and I haven't been able to get it. So they can't at least hack my stuff, which is probably the blessing, but I'd kill Telstra if I had the opportunity. But my concern is that with these people that you say, go, you know, just go to the website and we'll be there and we'll solve all your problems. They just don't. And nor do they now, when you end up saying, I need to speak to a human being, that you do. And this is not being unpleasant to the people, but you do end up with people in Bangladesh and China and various other bits and pieces. They don't have the same connectivity.
They speak perfect English, but they don't understand the culture.
Exactly right. Absolutely on the money.
But at least you are talking to a person. If you go onto a particularly motor vehicles, you log on to a Holden site or a Ford site, and this little image pops up in the corner. You know, my name's Brett, and I'm here to help you. Please ask a question, and I'll be able to guide you. Well, Brett is actually a computer.
Yeah.
Brett is not a real person.
We are absolutely getting into that space.
And we are now talking to computers.
Yeah, we are. We are. And voice recognition is getting
a message.
Yep.
And Brett's responding back to you and ask a technical question like, is Peter in the office today? I will tell me where I can direct your question to, because Peter doesn't actually exist in Brett's world, so he doesn't know.
I'm actually having an affair with Siri.
Really?
Yes. I think she's gorgeous. She gets everything right. She's nice and polite. She's perfect.
Does she understand you?
Not all of the time.
Not
but
all the
that's
time.
Not different from my beloved. So it hasn't changed. Anyway, let's get back to the technology that you deploy within your two villages.
Yep.
In villages in general.
Mm-hmm.
So you obviously, in terms of entertainment, let's go down to that level. You will have. Do you have collective Foxtel for everybody, for example?
No.
You don't? Okay.
Only in our apartments we have Foxtel for everybody.
Right.
In the village themselves they have, because there's no coax, they have rooftop
antennas.
Yeah.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Yep.
Do you have solar voltaic cells on the roof of your buildings?
Only for hot water.
But we're a little different. But we've got solar panels on probably 50% of the units.
Right.
And equally, we're doing hot water and stuff now when we do.
Does the revenue for that go to the centre? Because you've put them there.
Yes.
It does.
But they're our units.
Yes.
But the panels were installed under one of the government programs.
Right.
Any benefit is felt by the occupant in the unit. So if you're in your unit and it's a nice sunny day and you're cooking and doing whatever on your electricity stove or your
air conditioning,
that's fine. You will get the benefit of it. Any surplus energy goes into an electricity grid that we operate throughout the village, and that's to the benefit of the whole population.
Do you do cost-benefit analysis for things like that sort of technology as and when it comes on stream?
Absolutely.
You do?
Mm. And well, then we're embedded in that way as well. We don't have solar panels, but we certainly buy the power in bulk on behalf of the residents, and then they share in the benefits, in the surpluses, should there be some, and there are,
Because, I mean, as we have an interview, as you know, with someone we're talking about scooters. Now, they need power, they've got to be charged, and if you can plug that into the system during the day, I suppose it can charge it up and all that sort of thing. So, all of...
If you look at the broader thing, both Peter and I, we have what's called an embedded network where we negotiate with the electricity companies and we buy in bulk. Residents generally get a cheaper electricity supply and generates funds for the whole community. We also do our broadband and phone network, as a major technology. So we effectively act as a PABX for the village.
Right.
And every resident comes, every, I think there's one who's elected not to.
Right.
But, you know, and the advantage of that is that, A, we're controlling the network.
Yep.
Secondly, we can price it at a deal that is significantly better than a telco,
yep.
both for broadband, so internet access, email access, but also for phone calls.
Yep.
So the days of people paying a rental for your phone
yes.
under a Telstra or an Optus arrangement, you know, those days have moved on. And residents, in our situation, residents pay $20 access fee for phone services and $20 a month for all the internet you can eat.
Well, that's remarkable value. And of course, with NBN now that we've got, I mean, I'm assuming it's going to work for me sooner or later, but it works in other places that I do know. And that means that that's going to open up its own unique benefits in any case. You're going to have film download and all that, so it would be so much
faster.
Well,
we currently have a service that's faster than NBN.
Oh, what?
So we've had that for some time.
So how does that
work? You haven't gone down that track, have you? We have a 20 gig fibre optic pipe coming into the village.
From
what used to be a telco, which is right. we've now moved to yep. another one who actually provide the infrastructure. And it's been reticulated through the village.
Wow.
It cost a fair amount to set up, but we believe that it was the way to go for the future.
Is that de rigueur now for villages being built?
Being built, possibly.
Right.
Yeah, possibly. It's a smart thing to do.
Yes, I would think you'd certainly want to get NBN at least it was going node to copper, but you shouldn't need to go node to copper in a new facility, should you?
No. New facility should be, but don't underwrite copper.
There's nothing wrong with copper at all.
Yeah, I mean, copper, it was explained to me, copper's been around for 100 years,
and
it can keep on bursting stuff down it, and
as I'm discovering, they've got a broken thread which happens to connect my house, which is easy when it's copper. You just
exactly,
but it's not when it's glass. All right. It's what about the new technologies that are coming on stream? So, for example, SOS. You have SOS, don't you?
SOS.
The Save Us, an emergency button pressing.
Oh thing. Yes, we've always had that.
You've always had that.
In essence, that's the raison d'être of the retirement village sector.
Yeah.
If we're one thing, all of us have some form of emergency call system.
Yes.
That's why people live in villages.
Of course. Yeah.
So we've all got that. Funny you mentioned
that's NBN. Telephonic.
The NBN just announced they're coming to Rosebud, and one of the unintended consequences of that technology is that our emergency call system won't work.
Won't work. It won't
on
run.
NBN because it requires copper.
Yep.
And power. And if power goes out, NBN doesn't work. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yep. It is true.
Yep.
If you have a power failing, you cannot make a phone call or do anything because it relies on power. Whereas copper relies on 24-volt DC from Telstra, which is not connected to the normal grid.
And here's another clue that you wouldn't know about either, is that when you paid a huge amount of money for ADSL2 and you were at the top of the tree, now NBN, as it starts being rolled out, is sucking the juice out of the ADSL2, and it's now down already to sort of ADSL1, and it's going further south than that, apparently.
See, and they
because they need that copper component to be able to get the.
How is that fair?
Oh, I don't know.
In the modern world, how is that fair?
I don't know.
You know, I'm all for informed consumers. You know, if NBN was going to be compulsory for people to move on to over a period of time.
Yep.
And, okay, so be it. It's an unusual approach to adopt, but that shouldn't be the detriment of
what's existing.
Yes.
Apparently it does, though. It's parasitic. It lives off the... It eats copper, apparently, in the sense of the demand that it places. What can you see coming down the line? Look in your crystal ball. What's happening?
In the technology sense?
Yep. What do you see?
Well, we thought wireless. We thought we're going to get away from, but I'm not sure that's the case anymore. Some people tell us wireless is going to go to the next generation, is going to be the saviour of us all. But I think the NBN, the optic fibre, is
optic fibre.
Yeah.
I still think wireless is very important.
But you know, if you look at some of the telemedicine stuff, some of the proactive things to recognise when people may be starting to see some bodily decline. You know, measure your gait, measure your step, you know, sense that your stove has been left on too long, that there's an accident about to happen.
Yep, that's an energy management system, particularly electric.
Yeah, so there's a whole raft of things that have been promised for a long time in society. Australia is probably a very small marketplace to introduce some of that stuff. It's more common in the US.
You say that, but we're very rapid adopters. We're huge adopters here.
Yeah. Well, we have just done a deal with a new technology company, and they're going to do a trial at the village of, it's not an Apple Watch, but it's like an Apple Watch, and it is
as
an amazing piece of equipment, which is connected to the cloud, and in real time, the wearer of the watch will report their blood pressure, their temperature, a geopolitical fence around them.
Where they are.
Yeah.
So, well, that was one of my questions.
So clearly in our space, in the retirement village, that's important. In the home care space, that's important. And in the aged care space, where you've got dealing with people with dementia who are at risk if they get out of a secure place.
I can see it now. You're going to have someone sitting there looking at the computer screens and saying, I think Nigel's been in Betty's apartment for a shade too long.
So that's very exciting.
But one of the great things about it is one of the major issues for anyone in residential care is resident and residence falls.
Yes, indeed.
Falls risk is a major.
That's the big one.
In fact, it's one of the largest reasons people pass away is they have a fall, and within a very short time, they reach their maker. This watch has on it video, and it senses if you're vertical or not.
Good grief!
If you fall over, the video turns on. It turns on a speaker, and someone can talk to you and ask you, "Are you okay?"
What's it going to cost?
$40 a month.
Wow. That's fantastic.
But Peter's shown me.
The technology is amazing.
Yeah, but Peter has shown me the device that he's talking about, and it's exciting.
Mm.
You know, it's very exciting. Really exciting.
Well, since you saw it, it's moved on a lot. The original one was a bit clunky. Yeah. Now the watch looks like an Apple Watch.
It's really
thin, and the devices that it works with are sensational. You can prick it, and it'll do your blood readings, those sort of things. So some of those, I think, haven't quite worked out how that works with regards of cleanliness and stuff. But they're not doing that at this stage. Well, you know, infections and things.
Cross infection might be high.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but the technology is truly amazing. So we're doing a trial with them over the next 6 weeks.
So
I'd like to hear more about that.
Starting in 6 weeks, or are you?
The trial, we're hoping to start with the next fortnight, six-week trial. And we're having 10 in the village of independent living people.
Yeah.
10 people on packages and 10 people in the aged care to see if indeed that this is an issue. How is it going to work?
I'd like to cover a little bit more of that. We might do a bit more. Have a go at again that next week. I like this story. It's going well.
Mm.
It's going well. I have to boot you out because we've got bigger other guests that come in. Thank you for your time today.
So you like my dress?
Your dress?
Now, be polite, Brady.
He went
to a lot of trouble.
Go away. You'll get me into trouble. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Great track. Did you hear that? No, it wasn't the Beatles there. It was terrific. Now, that was great fun. I really enjoyed that. And the boys are always full of some great, great tales about technology. And carrying the technology forward, I want to be able to explore. Now, I do be in my bonnet about this. When you're at Coles and the place is surrounded with people sitting in their armchairs, nudging up the aisle, pushing you out of the way in their electric scooters, I get a bit cross, to be quite honest. But you know, it's mobility. And mobility is very important, and it involves technology. It involves all sorts of things, which is what this show is about. And I want to welcome Cameron Donnelly, who is very kindly, let me call him Cam, who is from Port Phillip Mowers and Scooters. And he's come in at the very last minute to be able to tell us why, or not why, but what is happening in the world of scooters, because it's all sorts of people that are getting on it. Ken, welcome.
Thanks very much, Brady. Really appreciate you having me this afternoon.
Oh, it's my pleasure, believe me. It's great that you're here. Now, how long have you been in the business?
I've owned the business for nearly 3 years now. Right. Portfolio Miles and Scooters has been around since 1989. We've just taken on scooters in the last sort of 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
As a, you know, a local provider to the peninsula, we try to offer the best customer service and quality products.
So it's a relatively new form of transport. We're sort of getting used to it, but it's changing dramatically, I would think. What is the new direction of scooters for a start? Let's have a look at that.
Look, it's becoming more apparent that they really provide a way of providing independence for people.
Yep.
And it's great. And we really believe in the product. We really believe in the idea of being able to encourage people to get out and about and, you know, get down to the shops, do their shopping, you know, and go to the doctors, whatever it may be. Scooters advanced a lot over the last few years. There's scooters for compact scooters for taking the car. There's scooters mid-size
that actually fit in a car, do they?
Yeah. So you can fully pull them apart in sort of about 5 or 6 pieces.
Yep.
There's also scooters that you can sort of fold up into the size of a suitcase that you can take on a plane or take on a boat. So
really?
Yeah, we've got a number of scooters that you can actually people go away on cruises and things like that, and there's no problems at all about taking them on a plane. So, you know. It's just a way of actually providing independence in all different kind of facets. You know, basically, wrap it up in sort of three ways. There's compact scooters.
Yep.
There's mid-sized scooters.
Right.
And there's large and specialist scooters. You know, scooters that, you know, one of them looks like a Harley Davidson. It looks fantastic. And that takes the stigmatism out of owning a scooter. So there's great products out there that can really suit everyone's individual needs.
I've seen a lass in Mornington. She's got one. She does with a dog, and she has some muscular dystrophy or something, or a stroke or whatever it's been. And she gets around it, and you're right. You know, they look seriously cool. But in terms of the equipment, how far do they go?
Yeah, look, the advance in electrical technology and batteries has come a long way. You know, the scooters, our main scooter, look, the Breeze C, that'll do up to 40, 45 kilometres on one battery charge.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fairly significant. I mean, I don't encourage anyone to drive from Rosebud to Mornington and come back again.
No, it's a long trip.
But, you know, to know that scooter is going to work for you every day, when you go out, turn it on, it's going to get you from down to the shops, back again, and it's going to be reliable and safe is a great thing. We also have our main scooter, the medium-sized scooter. That's used a lot for golf in places like the Village Glen. They'll drive it from their house to the golf course, around the golf course, sometimes via the 19th, and then back home again. So, you know, the scooters are really, there's a lot of uses for the average mobility scooter, you know. Yeah, they're a great thing for the people who need them.
So with this golf carty scootery thing, does that mean it does both? You can take it on the road as well as on the...
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're a dual-purpose scooter. So
amazing.
It is. It's a really great thing, because that means those people who wouldn't normally be able to play golf, and, you know, and later in life, no longer have to worry about getting their clubs out of the car, in the car, you know, getting to the golf course. They just, if they live close enough, it's not for everyone, but for the people who live close to a golf course, Safety Beach is another one, you know, Flinders, places like that. They can drive them straight from the house to the golf course, around the course, and back home again. And that means they can increase their longevity for playing golf.
Do you have to have a license?
No license required. So the mobility scooters aren't considered to be a vehicle. They have the same rules as a pedestrian.
Oh, okay.
So if from the start of your show, what you said, you just look out pedestrians, and here they come.
Well, yes, you can't. You know, pedestrians don't run over people usually. And they go quite quickly, some of those.
Look, they should only do up to about 10 kilometres an hour, but being electrically powered, they are actually quite a rapid, or, you know, have a reasonably quick takeoff. But yeah, they're a good product.
And so the rules apply to it the same that apply to a pedestrian, so they can go into a shop. Can the shop refuse them entry?
Look, that's a very good question, actually. I've never heard of it happen before, but, you know, I think at times, you know, people aren't able or capable, don't have the perception or the ability to be able to drive them in close proximity, you know, and hopefully that, you know, there's people around them that will actually step in and ensure that it's the safety of everyone. You know, safety is the key. We encourage and we promote everything with our customers. No accidents, safety is the key.
Yeah, of course. The how long does it take to charge them?
About 4 to 6 hours.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, so, but generally as a normal routine, people would leave them, we encourage people just to leave them on charge all the time.
Just a trickle?
Just a trickle. So you never fully overcharge them.
Right.
Once they're fully charged, they just get sort of trickle charged at a time. So, and then,
and it doesn't do any damage to the batteries if you just leave it there on charge?
Not at all.
Right.
No, and that way, it's the best thing for the batteries and for the scooter is to make sure it's fully charged all the time.
Okay, so let's assume, let's work on 40 kilometres.
Yep.
Right? What do you think in terms of your electricity bill would it cost to charge it?
Absolutely minimal, yeah. They're talking cents, not dollars at all in terms of trying to charge it, because just the way the technology is and the amount of amps that the chargers draw is absolutely minimal. So,
well, it's going to cost me, in theory, 4 litres of petrol, so it's going to cost me $5 at least if I have a car.
Look, going and getting a scooter is not necessarily, you don't do it necessarily for the financial outcomes, but the, you know, the benefits are you don't have to have a license, you don't have to be registered, and you don't have to pay for petrol. You know what I mean? And your servicing is much cheaper.
Well, I'm with you. I go down and shop every single day. I go down to whatever shop that I go to, and I go and get, I cook for the household. And so I go down and I do my shopping, and I always, I should walk, in fact, but yep. I don't usually have the time. And I've often thought that a bicycle or a scooter, in fact, I had a motorbike for a while, but of course, there's always that stigma that if you're on a scooter that you're unwell.
Look, fundamentally, mobility scooters are made for people who have a medical condition.
Right.
Or unable to...
And not just lazy.
I mean, yes. You know, maybe in the future, that's where maybe the future is heading, that the, you know, scooters may become in some ways used by a wider range of population. But at this stage, you know, they are fundamentally for, you know, for people who have a mobility issue. But as you say, look, you know, for those people who have them, an issue with mobility, you don't have to worry about car parking, you don't worry about buses, you know, in your local community, things like that. You know, no traffic problems, and they're just a very easy way for people to get out and about, and that's so simple to use.
It has brake lights, it has indicators,
headlights,
reversing light.
Yep, and generally reversing indicator as well.
Yep,
and they've got horns.
As in a beep.
Yep. So, and then you should have a flag as well, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's encouraged.
I think they should have a flag with your brand on it.
Exactly, yeah, no.
Do you give them a one with your brand on it?
Oh, we just plaster stickers all over it.
Sitting up there saying, I'm driving a... Makes a lot of sense. Look, I think it's fantastic, and for people that are unable to get around as much as they'd like, I think it's something that really should be considered. Now, we don't talk price here because it's not specific, but on the other hand, let's talk at least a bracket of pricing. So the lowest end of the market, we're looking at what?
Yeah, look, you're basically looking at starting new scooters from about $2,000 to the small compact.
Yep.
Up to, the medium size to our main scooters, around the $4,000 mark, and then they go up from that, depending how specialist you want to sort of go.
Do they have them, for example, that will clamp onto your wheelchair if you really do have a disability so that you can move your wheelchair, or do you have to actually move into a special chair that it's going to have?
Yeah, look, a special chair from that perspective. But, I mean, we do have, there's lots of different adaptions you can have on the scooter, and things like for oxygen bottles, four-wheelie walkers, walking frames, umbrellas, and things like that. I should just say, too, that look, there's a wide range of information. The Mornington Peninsula Council or Shire itself puts out a practical guide for scooters, which is a very good guide.
Okay.
Also, Vic Roads puts out another really good guide, just gives an explanation about it. How to go about purchasing a scooter, what to look for, and safety and things like that. So there's lots of information out there, and also we're obviously always happy to help.
Okay, well, we'll come to visiting you shortly, but do you go to, I don't know, villages and things like that to be able to talk about these things?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't say I'm the best talker, but I always have a crack at it.
Well, you're not bad on radio.
Well, you know, the future's bright.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, look, Absolutely, we'd love to get out there, and we really believe in the product. We believe what we do. The more people have access to knowing what they can do with these scooters, the more, you know, and but that gives them that independence. You know, say, get it, you know, we've got a customer here, you know, young Georgie Mead. He won't mind me saying that. Like, we call him the unofficial mayor of Rosebud. You know, he was sitting in his lounge room for 2 years, not able to get out. He finally got himself a scooter. Now he's upgraded into like a Harley Davidson kind of a scooter, and he loves it. And, you know, everyone knows him, yeah, you know, and exactly. It's just changed his whole world.
It does. It really does. And I, you know, I think it's fantastic. It really is so remarkably inexpensive. Obviously, there is a cost for the electricity, but it does make sense. One last issue before you tell us where. If mine breaks down for whatever reason, do you come and out and fix it? And if necessary, take it back to your workshop?
Of course. Yep. So that's one reason why we actually do put a couple of stickers on the scooters. It's just so if you're ever stuck out and about, you know, in the whole peninsula, we'll come and pick you up. That's what we do. We offer that breakdown service, and, you know, customer service is the key for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's no good just selling the scooter. You have to provide that aftermarket care and support to the customer, especially in that sort of age group as well. It's very important.
I think that's brilliant. Cameron, thank you so much. Now, where can they find you?
You can find us at Port Phillip Mowers and Scooters down in Rosebud, 851 Point Nepean Road. We're just up the road from Tasman Meats. I don't know if I can say that, but I've just said it.
Yep.
Or you can contact us on 59 81 2444.
2444.
And we have a website as well there. So.
Okie dokie. All right.
Brody, thank you very much for having us today.
It was a pleasure. You're full of knowledge. And
we're always learning, so that's...
No. And we'll get you back again, I hope. And, you know, when you get something new that's, a bit of a game changer, be sure to give us a call and say, I've got something to tell you.
Yeah, no, we'd love to do that. And, so things are changing all the time. So, you know, thanks again for having us and listening.
It was my pleasure. So that was Cameron, and Cameron Donnelly, and he is from Port Phillip's Mowers and Scooters. And now that he's going to be heading off, we're going to be back very shortly for the final presentation today, where we're going to be talking to the founder of Shake It Up, which is a non-for-profit group that's all about Parkinson's. Back after this. And welcome back to the Age Stage. Now, our next guest is going to be talking about a subject which is very close to my heart, because I suffer from something that's like it, but not it. And I'm very pleased to say that, because I know that it ain't much fun. And that is the problem of Parkinson's disease. Now, Clive Cameron is the founder of Shake Up, which is a non-for-profit group for people and families that are affected by someone who has Parkinson's disease. And he's come on the show today to bring us all up to speed, because they've just had, I think, a special event or an activity that's been going on, so we'll cover off that. But the important thing is the activity may have finished, but the disease unfortunately continues on. So, Clive, welcome to RPP. It's lovely to talk to you.
Thanks for the opportunity to have me chat.
Oh, it's a great pleasure, because it's a very important topic. Now, in brief terms, what is Parkinson's?
Yeah, Parkinson's is a disease that is the substantia nigra starts to die in cells. And when it dies, you lose dopamine production, which then lose communication between the body's functionality. And the key symptoms people see normally up front is either a shaking palsy or rigidity.
Okay. Who does it affect?
It's a disease that affects, you know, roughly 50% men, 50% women.
Okay.
20% of people are under 50 years old, where most people think it's an old person's disease.
Really? 20%? As high as that?
Yeah, 20% are under 50. Yeah, people, you know, such as Michael J. Fox was diagnosed at 28.
Of course. And he's still going, isn't he?
He is, yes. Yeah, Michael's still... Yeah, again, has some good days and some challenging ones, but overall, he's still going very well at mid-50s.
Now, is it hereditary?
There's some pathways of Parkinson's that do look to be hereditary, and there's others that don't look to be hereditary. But there's no one that gets the same Parkinson's disease. There's multi-different strands of symptoms and also progression.
So in a sense, it's like cancer. You can't cure it all in one foul swoop. or one really good swoop, come to think of it.
We would love to do that. It's now 200 years since Dr. Parkinson's first diagnosed Parkinson's disease, and we found ways to be able to treat the symptoms of the disease for a period of time, but we're now just starting to find ways that we hope to be able to slow, stop, and then the holy grail of how to cure the disease.
So in the current move, well, you know, the first stage is to slow. Is that drugs? Is that drug related?
It is. Yeah, what we're looking at there is no one knows what causes Parkinson's, but we do know what Parkinson's is with the loss of the dopamine production. Mm-hmm. We can make more dopamine for a period of time, but then you do end up with other issues with dyskinesias of involuntary movement and things such as that, which if you see, say, someone like Michael J. Fox, you'll see his arms and legs move quite a bit with the treatment that he's on. Mm-hmm. So then it's really a matter, we all would dearly like a cure, but the cure may come by finding the dopamine reduction at 30 or 40% lost in the brain instead of 70% where most people see it as a symptom. And if we can slow it down at that level, we don't need to find a cure because you'll never have the symptoms of Parkinson's if we can find it early and slow it down.
Is it terminal?
There's many different phases of Parkinson's. It's primarily not terminal disease, but there's many attributes of it that do cut people's lives short.
Right. So unlike muscular dystrophy or any wasting disease, it doesn't fall into quite into that category?
As a broad spectrum, no.
Right.
But there's many different areas of depression, issues with the way the actual bowel works, many different shaking or stiffness palsies, aching, and the ability to be able to have things such as falls because people can't walk correctly.
Mm.
There's multiple areas there that affect people as their life goes on.
Now, Shake It Up, tell me what Shake It Up is all about.
Yeah, Shake It Up was set up. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's now coming up to 8 years ago.
You were?
Yes.
All right,
yeah,
okay.
Unfortunately, yes. I got up to speak in a public area and I started to shake, which was pretty unusual for myself. And yeah, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease at 44. Been bulletproof healthy all my life, and it was a real shock to the system to be able to find out I had a Parkinson's disease.
So you decided to start the Shake It Up organisation, or did it already exist?
Now, when I was diagnosed, I had a look around Australia. I found some great researchers, and in my opinion, all underfunded. And if we were going to fund them at a higher level, how do we ensure that we're strategically focused so that we're doing internationally competitive work? So I found multiple areas we could help with around Australia. But when I went and saw Michael J. Fox Foundation in the States, they come away knowing we found the people that could help us in Australia.
Right.
Fox Foundation don't do research themselves, they fund research.
Yep.
And what they've done, we've formed a partnership in Australia with Michael J. Fox. We fund for every dollar that we put in, they put in a dollar as well.
Wow.
And to date, we've put $3 million in, and they've also put $3 million into research right here in Australia.
So you've organised access to $6 million for research in this country.
Yes, to date we've got that committed to research right here in Australia. All our research dollars are spent in Australia.
Yep.
And they're matched with a dollar from the Fox Foundation, which is a fantastic thing for our researchers.
Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. That's extraordinary.
What we did with the foundation is we set it up. My brother and myself cover all the overheads of the foundation, so every donated dollar that comes in gets matched with the Fox dollar and goes out as $2. We have no overheads because we pay all those ourselves personally.
That's extraordinary. That is a fantastic gift.
Yeah, we wanted to keep things very simple and very pointed to the end result of finding a cure for Parkinson's. We have had to fall back to how do we slow it, how do we stop it, to be able to find that way, to be able to find the cure. But we're definitely finding good opportunities in those areas to be able to make a difference.
Are there any, I don't know, older, because it's been diagnosed obviously for 200 years, homeopathic remedies that help relieve symptoms in any way?
There doesn't seem to be any that are universal at work. The one thing that everyone does agree on is exercise is good.
Yes.
In multiple ways. How to be able to get... I find exercise fantastic for myself early in the morning.
Right.
Because if I take medication, it does get it pumped around the body and I perform a lot better during the day. It also assists the body in movement because with the constraint on your muscles, you do tend to become, you know, curled up in a little ball and you get more hunched over. When you exercise, you try and stretch yourself out to ensure that that doesn't become an ongoing issue.
Well, I don't have Parkinson's, but I have a thing that apparently is called a familial tremor. And I know that eventually you get to the stage where something as simple as eating food, you know, like having a soup spoon or peas on your fork, becomes impossible. And it certainly affected my life in terms of towards the end of my business career. You know, I wouldn't have business meetings with meals anymore because I just felt too self-conscious. And all the assumption was that it was Parkinson's. But I'm thrilled to say, there's somebody who looks like they've got it, they haven't. Now, can people help you in any way? How can you be helped? You've got the money that you're raising, and that's being matched dollar for dollar. How do people donate or help you in achieving the goal you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing. You know, we haven't achieved what we want to do at the present time, but we're definitely well on that journey. To be able to help us, go to our website at shakeitup.org.au,
yep.
And there's ways to donate directly at the website. There's ways to be able to hold events, which we ask a lot of people to do at your own event, do it yourself then, whether they hold a morning tea or a lunch or a fundraiser that run or walk a different area. There's plenty of those types of events from around different cities that you can raise funds for while you're doing something that can add a bit of value to your life.
Well, I think I'll have a dinner party and call it Spilling the Beans because I can't keep them on my fork, and I might be able to talk about it because I think it's something that needs to be spoken about.
It is something that is a real challenge. Like some of those, what has deemed to be a very simple task, like eating beans off a peas, yep, off a fork, or using a computer or using a mobile phone,
yep,
things like that, a lot of people just can't do, and it's just horribly frustrating but very, very embarrassing.
That's exactly right. It is
in that public area.
It is the frustration and the embarrassment, the actual embarrassment. Look, it was terrific. Thank you very much for coming on to the show today. I very much appreciate it. And perhaps if you get any breakthrough news or anything, that you'll contact the station through your people and let us know so that we can talk about it further.
We definitely will, and we're working on areas that will have out of the lab and into humans, yep, in late this year, early next year.
Brilliant.
To repurpose drugs. And now repurposing, we're looking at taking drugs that have been used in people in other illnesses,
yep,
and how we use them in Parkinson's for different relief, especially in how we slow and stop the actual disease. We're working closely with Cure Parkinson's UK,
yep,
and also Michael J. Fox in the US.
Yep.
But how do we have a global world? Because we need to make sure we don't duplicate areas that are done elsewhere. And how do we get the best bang for our buck at the end of the day to make a difference in Parkinson's?
Well, you're one of the few places that 100 cents in the dollar will actually go straight to the research, and for that I absolutely applaud you. Welcome, thank you for coming to the show, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, and if anyone needs any more information about Parkinson's in general, it is all on our website, yep, at shakeitup.org.au.
Shakeitup.org.au, www in the front. Terrific. Take care, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. And that brings us to the end of another show. My name is Brodie Guzet, and I'm awfully sorry that we haven't had Vicky with us today. It's been a great show. I think the boys are very funny. They gave the game away, but that's radio. That's what happens. Next week, I hope that we have Vicky back in the seat. But it's community radio. It's what happens. The A Stage is here for you here at RPP. It's a program that's all about things that are important to senior citizens just like me. So look after yourselves. Take care of it.